G'day, I'm Kevin Sanders, and welcome to the Business Architecture Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about all things business architecture so that business owners can truly get on the front foot and start creating more time in their life to do the things they want, build reliable cash flow to do those things with, drive scalable value into the marketplace while allowing them to step back and ultimately architect the business of their dreams. So without further ado, let's get into this next episode. Welcome back to the Business Architecture Podcast. My name's Kevin Sanders, and if you haven't been listening to anything else that's been posted on this channel up to date, then thank you very much for being here to listen to this one. These aren't scripted in any way. I'm simply sharing my philosophies of what I do, my body of work, and my life's mission, so to speak. And it's all about systemic thinking, organization design, business performance, and generally speaking, how to build a bulletproof organization for the 22nd century, which is obviously a long way away. But if we don't start the ball rolling now, then that period of time will encounter us, and we won't be so prepared. So I think for this one, what we're looking to do is actually, I'll define a little further what my body of work is all about. I think it's a good premise. For moving forward, there's going to be a series of podcasts and topics that I'll talk about, from culture and people management and leadership and finance and all the different areas, the product and how we position you and sales and all these things that sort of come together as a part of an organizational system that all have to work together and collaborate together in order to get the job done. Because it's fundamentally it's my thesis is that we're moving into an age and we're rapidly changing into an age, and change is happening faster than ever, by the way, as well. But we're changing into an age where there'll be a call for a new type or a new breed of organization. How we've traditionally done things up until this point has been great, and it's gotten us to this point. But there's a couple of competing ages now that are starting to form, and we'll see a clash of those two ages at some point. And that's the thesis of the book that I'm writing on systemic design and business architecture. And so to quickly debrief all of that and use this episode as the premise of all of that, and then how all of that relates into how we build amazing, bloody amazing organizations moving forward. Is to essentially, look at history and how we've gotten to where we're at today. And so if we, I won't go into too much depth into it, because obviously I've only got a short amount of time. I don't want to be here for hours and hours, although I could talk for hours and hours. But the whole premise of it is that we're, as a world, as a globe, we've moved along a few different series of ages. And an age is a period of time in which people have a common worldview and enact that worldview through a culture. Culture is one of the podcast episodes I'll go into a little bit more, or maybe I'll do a couple, little bit more moving forward. But if we look back at history and see what history tells us, we came through things like the Middle Ages and the Renaissance and the Machine Age and the Systems Age and the Industrial Revolution and all of these periods of time where worldviews changed. And our behavior as a society changed with it. And as the behavior of society changes with it, we then organize our business in different fashions. And the reason why I focus more on business is, obviously, business is more than just about making money. It's about providing livelihoods, and it's about, creating effect in the world and bringing change and actually doing things. For a majority of the people, business is also about creating a purpose, more than just a function or a job. It's a purpose, a cause, if you like. And so, looking at history, and if we look at more recent history, where we've seen manufacturing ages sort of come to light, and the Industrial Revolution was the onset of strong business analysis. And it's literally what it's called, and it's still called that today. But business analysis, where analysis is a three-step process, where you take something that's whole, you pull it apart to understand the parts, and then you put it all back together to try and understand the whole. That pulling apart, and obviously that's what analysis is, but I think, you know, as a side note, we've kind of used the word analysis so much that we've lost what it actually means. We think it means thinking. So analysis and thinking are one and the same word. I mean, you could demonstrate this, I guess, if you get a problem and give it to two people, you ask one person to think about it, the other person to analyze it, then ask them what the difference is. They probably wouldn't be able to discern greatly between the two. But thinking about something is not analyzing it, and analyzing something is not just thinking about it. Analysis originally was birthed as a method of inquiry, to understand something a little bit further. It is thinking in itself, but it's an actual process of inquiry. And so what happened in the Industrial Revolution, you know, everything that led up to it, saw business owners, founders, executives, they take their organizations and analyze them. They want to understand how to make them better. And of course, analysis says first step is to take it apart. So they pull it apart and they, you know, subdivide all the organization into all these little subsections that we have, you know, finance, human resources, marketing, production, manufacturing, sales, you know, all these different subsets that we see in a business. And what they essentially did by doing that was they found out that they could keep pulling the organization apart until we came up with work elements. Work elements are just, you know, the single job that a single person could do. It doesn't require two people, it just requires one. So we can pull these organizations apart to the point of having them then demonstrated in terms of elements. And this is where things like org charts and position descriptions and position description responsibilities and all these things that we have currently in our infrastructures of organizations today, this is where it all stems from. But in analyzing it, what we did was we took the meaning of the organization away. See, analyzing told us how the organization functions, but it doesn't define to us the purpose or the cause of the organization. That purpose provides context, and people like working with context. If you take context away from a person, then they become all about their function, which is a very meaningless route of work. And so what's happened is that we've come through that age now, and here we are. We've gotten to the point where, we've analyzed the hell out of all of our organizations and these big complex org charts, and we've given each person their specific role or task or function within an organization. They exist within silos and these subsystems of organizations that don't tend to talk to each other, so the left hand has no idea what the right hand is doing. The purpose or cause of the organization is lost because we've taken this organization apart through analysis. And so therefore what happens is that people lose their purpose of or cause for work. Now when you have people in an organization that have lost their purpose or cause for work, then the sole purpose that they're left with is to make money because I have to live. And that's the only thing they can grasp for as a reason as to why they want to go to work. And this is a behavior, a cultural behavior that we see that's very, very prevalent in today's age in many, many organizations. There are employees that go to work for the sole purpose of making money. So what we've done is we've used analysis now to get to this point. We've taken essentially, you know, taken a lot of meaning away, not always, not in all of them, but we've taken a lot of meaning away from work and a lot of context away from work, which affects things like culture and all these things that happen within an organization. And we're left with an age of people who are stuck doing a task. Now, the thing about when you have an organization full of people who are stuck doing a task is that it's only a matter of time, and if history, recent history, very recent history shows us anything, it's a matter of time until some kind of machine or some kind of technology or some kind of application, some kind of automated vehicle comes in and can do that task more reliably, more efficiently than a person can. And so what we've essentially systemically started to do was look at people as if they were machines. And people don't like being looked at them as though they are a machine. They're a person, after all. They have emotions, they have feelings, and they are beings. They're not inanimate machines. And so we're seeing a rise in technology, and commercially it's very valuable because we're maximizing shareholder value, which seems to be the common goal of at least a public organization. We're maximizing shareholder value, which is actually destroying companies of the future. We're going to see a massive cleanse because of this. And a new elite form, and you know, I guess this is the opportunity, if you're listening to this, to put a stake in the ground and a claim as to, you know, you'll be a part of this new elite moving forward. But with the rise in this technology and automation and the such of all these organizations, we're now phasing out, or it's begun to phase out, the importance for human beings to be in the organization, to feel like they're being cared for, to feel like their opinions matter and their emotions matter. We're kind of moving away from that to automate everything as much as possible to create more efficiency and make more money. In another parallel to that, if we can imagine, and there's now more evidence than ever that suggests that we've got a rise of another age. And this other age is all about the human awareness. It's about the human consciousness. It's about, and that's not to sound wooey, but it is all about, hey, we are human beings. We matter. I have a purpose. I just don't have a function. I have a cause. I'm not just a thing for you to use, a tool for you to use. I matter. And if you don't care for me, then I'll find someone who does. And we're moving into an age now where, you know, if we take examples like the environmental movement that started as a person or a group of people who would be doing things that were seen to be environmentally friendly, that moved then into bringing people along to do things that are environmentally friendly. So it went from I'm doing environmentally friendly thing to we are doing environmentally friendly thing. And now we've moved into a period of time where the social culture around environmentally friendly has now become about identity. So people are walking around identifying as environmentally friendly. And so we've seen an integration, a human integration of cause. Now, you know, with recent things, and of course we're at the back of this, well, in Australia we're kind of at the back of this, I guess the rest of the world is still in the midst of it, but with the COVID pandemic, we saw things like the Black Lives Matter. That was a big movement that started with one person and quickly spread. And we've seen organizations begin to reform their strategies and their philosophies and their cultures around being more inclusive and actually being considerate of other people and how they feel. We're seeing a lot of instances where, you know, we're calling for more empathy in how we lead organizations, not just how we manage organizations. You know, we're calling for more cultural reformation in terms of this is what was, but is not suffice for what is. And so we need to be able to understand that, hey, there's a change that needs to happen. We need to lead something here in order to make this thing a better thing that is recognizing human beings and for the fact that they're human beings and not just a function or a position or a tool. And so that whole human inclusivity sort of goes against the manufacturing age where we started to treat people like machines. It's now, and essentially in that age where we began this notion of essentially dehumanizing work, now we're moving into an age where we're starting to see the rehumanization of work, where people want to matter, they want to feel cared for, they're a part of something. So what am I saying? We've got the culture of technology and automation, which is great for efficiency and function, and we're going to see a lot of technology and applications start to replace people in terms of what people do because they're more reliable and they're more efficient. And we've seen, right, which is taking cause away from people, and then we're seeing the rise of the rehumanization of work, which is bringing cause to people. So obviously these two ages are on the rise right now, and we can see it. It's the evidence is all there, but these two ages do have some opposite conflict about them. And so when they come together, we need to understand how we're going to manage that interaction, because they will meet in the middle somewhere. So that's the premise of systemic thinking, and it's how we use the various systems, our education systems, our legal systems, our social dynamic systems, our medical systems, and all of these big systemic systems that have their own environments, that shape their own environments, how we use that to bring these ages together and ultimately clear the space for what the modern organization will look like when that will come. Who knows when it will come, by the way, who knows? But we do know that it will probably be in this century sometime. But, you know, obviously no one's a mind reader here and anything can happen. So they're the two ages that are coming together. And this is a part of the premise of the book that I'm writing, and why I'm sharing this is because I think we're seeing a period of time approach us where we'll have a clash of ages, and there'll be the need to reform how we build an organization. So the purpose of this is to sort of get the ball rolling, have a think about what's happening. I mean, you know, we're in early stages, but we're moving already, but we're in the early stages of it. But have a think about your organization and where you're at. You don't have to be the owner or the founder or an executive manager or whatever. You can just be a part of an organization as a person, because that matters. But have a think about how, you know, all of these things are starting to come together and what we can start to do in order to shape and mold an organization moving forward. And, you know, let's collaborate around this and start to look to how we manage the future and start to build that pathway from here on, because I think time will run thin and we'll find ourselves in a space where it will probably or potentially be, you know, too late to create the kind of effect that we're looking for. All right, guys, thank you very much. I try not blab on too much, to be really honest, but look, that was 16 minutes. I'm trying to keep these things around the 15 minute mark, so I have gone over a little bit on that, but it's a big topic and there's a hell of a lot more to it. That's why I'm writing a book on it as well. You know, and everything I do in my body of work right now is all about shaping and building organizations of the future using systemic thinking, systemic design, and business architecture, and you know, the placing the importance of the fact that we've got to be, you know, leader focused, people focused, and future focused about where we're going. Okay, guys, well, if there are any questions, please shoot them. You know where I'm at. Look forward to the next few podcasts. Next one I think I'll do on culture. But yeah, look forward to those. And you know, if you haven't already, subscribe so we can keep this conversation flowing. I think people who really embrace what's going on here and have their own piece and own perspective and their own experience to contribute will be, you know, very, very highly regarded, and I appreciate that, because this is not just a thing that one person can do. This is a thing that we all have to take part in. So if you've got any questions, yeah, shoot them through and we'll keep the conversation moving. But until next time, thank you very much and take care. Hey there. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Business Architecture Podcast. As the owner of a business, I've got no doubt that you will have figured out that knowledge isn't actually power, it's potential power. And the most powerful thing we can do with knowledge is to take action with it. So with that being said, as questions have come up for you around how to take any action with or implement anything from this episode, please feel free to connect with me and I'll do my very best to answer those questions for you. You can find me on LinkedIn under my name, Kevin Sanders, or you can look me up in my profile, which is Your Excellence on LinkedIn as well. Also, don't forget to bookmark or favorite this podcast so that you can be made aware of when a new episode goes live. And of course, if you happen to know any other business owners that are doing it tough, they're frantic, they're anxious, cash flow poor, or on the other side of that, they just really want to unleash their business, please do a good thing and share this with them so that they can get the benefit from it too. I don't bite, but I do grow businesses, so I look forward to speaking with you soon.